Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
This morning, and to see all of you and all those that are watching online. So, if you will, you might have guessed it already, but we're going to be preaching out of the book of Jonah. So if you have your Bibles and you want to turn to the book of Jonah, you can turn there. And Jonah was a prophet, and God had called him to preach. Really, God has called all of us to preach. The word literally means to proclaim. And God has a message that we're to proclaim. One, that we're sinners, and we deserve death. But there's hope. And we sung about that this morning. Because of His mercy, there's hope. Because He's provided us a way. He shows His love to us and that we can be saved. And so the purposes of our preaching here today is to help others to know more about God. We were talking about that. Pastor was praying a little bit about that, and that's how He reveals Himself in His Word. And so, but it's not about learning a bunch of facts. We don't come here to learn a bunch of Bible facts. We come here to build our relationship with God. And so as we read our Bibles, and as we pray to Him, and as we come to church and hear the preaching of God's Word, we build our relationship with God. And so just like any relationship we have, whether it's with a mother or a father or a spouse, as we know and learn more with them, as we spend more time with them, as we're reading God's Word, listening to God talk to us, as we're praying to Him, talking to Him, and we're spending time with Him in fellowship here at the church, it's improving our relationship to God. And so we can draw closer to Him and have a better relationship to God because we'll know Him more. And so my hope today out of the message is that through the preaching of God's Word, we'll have a greater knowledge of God and a greater love for Him. And so with that, we'll get started. We're going to look at Jonah. We won't cover the whole story, so you have a little homework. You can go home and read it. It's four chapters. It's really small. You can read it. We're just going to kind of overview it and then pick out some key points. And so let's go ahead and start there in chapter 1 and verse 2 of Jonah. And it says there, "Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. And he paid the fare thereof, and he went into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." And so God had called Jonah to preach to the Ninevites. And he jumps up and he goes the opposite direction. Ninevites were over here in the east, and Jonah's fleeing to the west. That might be reversed for you guys that are watching, but for me, that's the way it looks when I'm looking at the map. And so God sends this storm as he's out on the ship, and he's threatening to destroy the ship and all the sailors that are on the ship. And of course, in verse 15, we see that Jonah, the only way that the sailors can save themselves in the ship is to throw Jonah overboard. So let's read that real quick here. It says, "And so they took up Jonah and they cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging." And of course, before they threw him in, God had already prepared this great fish that was going to swallow Jonah, where he stayed for 3 days in the belly of this great fish. And toward the end of the third day, as he's about to die and he's losing hope, he finally prays to God and he asks God to save him. Of course, God saves him and he spits him out on the shore and sends him again to Nineveh to preach. We see that in chapter 3, the first few verses, and let's read those. It says, "And the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, Arise and go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. And so Jonah arose, and he went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord." And then we'll skip to verse 14, and it's or verse 4, I'm sorry. "And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And so Jonah obeys God the second time that he's told to go. He's to Nineveh to preach, and he preaches this message, and it's a message of judgment. God is going to destroy your city if you don't repent. And that's a similar message to what God has given us. And then if we skip down to verse 5, it says, "And so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, the king, and even unto the least of them." And so surprisingly, this pagan nation that doesn't even know of the true God, they believe Jonah's message, and they all repent of their wickedness and are saved. And now if we look down into verse number 10, it says, "And God saw their works, that they had turned from their evil ways, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not." And so when God saw that they had repented of the evil that they were that they were doing, he repented of the destruction that he said he was going to do unto them. Now let's continue in chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, "And it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed to the Lord, and he said, I pray thee, O Lord, was this not my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew," this is the key part here, "for I knew that thou art a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, that you would repent of the evil you plan to do." That's why Jonah ran. So the basic story that we see here in Jonah is, and let's go back and kind of look at everything in the account and learn more about God and what God has for us, has revealed for us in this passage. And as we do, we'll see that, first of all, that God is a God of justice. Because the Ninevites were sinning, they deserved to be destroyed. But God loved them, and he wanted to send them, under his mercy, someone to help them change their minds. Do you think that God really wanted to destroy the Ninevites? Do you think he really wants to destroy us? You know, there's a verse in the Bible that describes this, and we'll see here. Ezekiel 33, verse 11 says, "As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his ways and live." Let's look at another one. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 19, it says, "But the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all shall come to repentance." And so we can see from these verses that God does not want to destroy us. He doesn't want to destroy the Ninevites. And that's why he sends Jonah to warn them. And so we see in chapter 4, remember what... Let's go back and look at what Jonah says here. He says that, "I knew that thou art a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil." And he's talking about the evil that he would do to the Ninevites. He was planning to destroy them. Jonah knew that God was a just God and that God will punish us for our sins. But he also knew that God had showed the Israelites mercy and grace, and that if they turn from their ways and come to God, that he would forgive them. But you see, Jonah hated them, and he didn't want them to be forgiven. That's why he flew the other direction. The Assyrians, these Ninevites, were constantly attacking the Israelites, stealing from them and killing, and even Jonah himself had suffered, probably, in his families from these Assyrian attacks. And so he didn't want God to show mercy on them. You know, sometimes that's just like us, you know. And a lot of times God's not calling us to go into a bad country and go preach to somebody that might kill us. A lot of times he just wants us to go across the street to our neighbor or tell that coworker at work, "Yeah, you're a sinner, you're not perfect, but God loves you." And so Jonah wanted God to rain down fire and brimstone on Nineveh, just like Sodom and Gomorrah. So let's come back to God. We see the second part there is that God loves them and he would rather forgive them than to destroy them. And that's true with us. In fact, the book of Jonah really shows God's mercy more than anything else. Not just for his wicked people, but even for Jonah, his wicked prophet who's refusing to do what God told him to do. I don't know about you, but that brings me great hope. Because even when we're running away from God and we're sinning and we're not doing what God wants us to do, and we don't cover this here because of the time, but God used Jonah to save them sailors on that ship. and they worshiped and praised God despite Jonah's disobedience. And so God can use us to make a difference in the lives of someone who's lost, whether we're obeying him or not. And we see his mercy evident in the fact that he sent Jonah in the first place. If God didn't love the Ninevites, if God didn't want them to repent, he would have never sent Jonah. And so that's the same with us. We're guilty of sin. The Bible says in Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so God loves us, but he's made a way for us to be forgiven. Let's look in as Romans 6:23. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we've all sinned. We all deserve death. But let's look on. Romans 5 and verse 8 says, but God commendeth, that means he showed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God showed his love to us by giving us Jesus Christ, his son, to die in our place for our sins. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2 says, Jesus is the propitiation. That's a big word for saying the satisfaction. He satisfied God's wrath, his judgment for our sins. He paid for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. So Jesus' death on the cross was the payment not only for our sins, but for everyone's sins. But now how do we apply Christ's death to our account? He's wanting to pay, but we need to transfer it to our account. Well, that's a good question. And it's recorded for us in the Bible. Someone else asked about this in the book of Acts. So let's look at Acts 16 and verse 31. And it started in verse 30, I'm sorry. It says, and sirs, this was the Philippian jailer. And he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul answers him and he says in verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's it. We just have to believe. We have to accept the fact that we're sinners, that we've wronged God. We have to see that he has paid the penalty for us, and then accept it. If somebody's trying to give you a gift, you don't actually, if they're still standing there holding their hand out and you don't take it, then it doesn't apply to you. So you have to accept Christ's gift, his payment for our sins. And so we see here, let's look to some more verses here. And at Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. It's God's grace. We don't have, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm sorry. that was 9. So it's not something that we do. A lot of people are confused. They say, well, I have to do all these works. I have to do penance. I have to come to church. I have to pay money to the church. I have to give money to the poor. And those are good things, and we should do those things. But those aren't the things that get us to heaven. Those aren't the things that save us. It says it's not of our works that we do. It's of the work that Jesus Christ did when he gave his life to die for us. And that's what gets us into heaven. So let's look at one more verse here. It says in John 14 and verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. This is the only way. He didn't make another way. Only through Jesus Christ's substitutionary death can we pay the penalty for our sins and get to heaven. And so we see today in our study that it's not a story about a great fish. It's a story about a great God. And a just God who will punish wickedness, but also a God of love and mercy who would rather forgive. A God that shows unexpected mercy to those that are his enemies, really, and we don't deserve it. And we can never pay him back. So if you're standing in God's judgment today and you haven't asked God to forgive you of your sins, come today. He's waiting to forgive you. But if you are and you're a believer, well, just like Jonah, God has called us to proclaim a message of his love and forgiveness to others. And so he wants us to go and tell others of that love and forgiveness for them too. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this love and mercy that you've given to us. I pray that you would help to use this in our lives, Lord, and I pray that you'll help us to be faithful, to tell others about your love. And Lord, if there's any that haven't received God's gift of salvation, I pray that today would be the day. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.